This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Charles Pellegrino, the author of The Last Train from Hiroshima, The Survivors Look Back. Also in your bookstores is To Hell and Back. It is the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, and 13th, and then the Japanese nation surrenders on the 15th. The victims, however, are timeless. So we go to some of the stories that Charlie tells in his book. We go to the one double survivor, Kanoshi Hirata, I believe is his name. He finds his wife's remains. Where, Charlie?
He found his wife's remains. He had been working at one of the Mitsubishi offices. He was an accountant at that point in the war. And he was actually those shock cocoon effects we talked about. He was one of the few survivors in his office. And he saw that the bomb had, he called it like the head of a dragon rising above the city, something like a cross between a dragon and a flower head, which was what we call the mushroom cloud, and that it was rising directly over home where his wife of only 10 days they had been married, and that she was directly under that. And he would probably, the radiation was actually moving, the cloud of radioactive fallout and the black rain was actually moving northwest of where he was. He wasn't being reached by the cloud at all. And then he walked into the area of Ground Zero and began searching for his wife. It took him into the night to actually find the ruins, the foundations of their home. And the next day, through an archaeological excavation, he found and recognized items from their kitchen and worked his way into another part of the house, and he found her fragments of her bones, and which he hoped were seashells, but he realized that they were her bones. He found a silver wedding bowl that they had been given for their wedding only 10 days before, and into that he placed her bones and wrapped them and decided that he would get on a train if he could, or even if he had to walk, and bring the bones back to her parents, which was the city of Nagasaki.
Dr. Nagi, he was in hospital with cancer, is that correct?
Right. He was a patient in his own hospital with terminal cancer, expected not to really live through the autumn when he was exposed at fairly close range in the hospital in Orikami, just north of Nagasaki, which, you know, the bomb did not hit Nagasaki direct. It actually exploded over the town next door, Orikami. And he was deep within the hospital at just about the right depth within the hospital that he had some shielding from the prompt radiation, the neutron spray, the gamma rays, and his people who were out on the outer fringe of the hospital facing toward the bomb had less shielding. A number of the nurses and doctors were irradiated lethally. But he was irradiated deep within the core of the hospital in a dark room where he had decided to get out of bed and start developing x-rays for some of his students. And he was actually shielded just enough not to get a lethal dose of radiation, but received just enough radiation to put the cancer into remission, and he lived another 6 years.
There was a horse, Charlie, in your story, half burned and half not. Was that Nagasaki?
That was Hiroshima. It was where the horse was burned on one side, and then when the blast wave hit, it actually degloved the skin and fur completely off of the horse's body. And a soldier who had survived, who had been shielded and shock cocooned in a supply depot, he was walking around and he saw this horse that had no skin. The musculature was exposed. And he could not believe that this horse was trying to follow him for some distance. And he doesn't remember what happened to the horse, but a passage from some biblical passage about the horsemen of the apocalypse and a pale horse did come to him and stay with him through many years afterward into the 1970s when he was interviewed.
Two men arguing over the remains of what they thought were their wives. Was that Nagasaki?
That was Nagasaki, and that was very near to the hypocenter where Dr. Nagai, the doctor who went into remission, his wife was at home very near to the hypocenter. Nothing was ever found of her except for part of a rosary that she always wore. And nearby, a cousin of Dr. Nagai came across two men fighting over the bones of a woman, each believing that the bones were his wife. And there was a wedding band of gold that had melted completely and could only be identified as once having been a wedding band, but there was no engraving or anything that survived. And they were arguing over the wedding band and over, well, one of them had commented, and the cousin heard this and screaming, "No, my wife was overweight, and there's more of a fatty residue on the ground around the bones. So these are the bones of my wife, not your wife." And this cousin walked through this nightmare land, seeing people behaving with absolute insanity everywhere she walked, and told her uncle, Dr. Nagai, "Don't go down there. Don't go into where the center of the explosion was. You'll see people doing all sorts of crazy things."
We have about a minute, Charlie. What was the ant walk?
People were in such shock that they tended to follow each other in trails, one person following the other, over debris, over rubble, and climbing over these hills, one following the other, where nearby would be a road that was intact, a smooth road that they could have walked over. And these trails of people stretched over the land, many of them about a quarter mile long. And some of the people stepped out. Nowhere. When some were asked, "Where are you going?" some of them who could talk responded, "This way," and "Where are you from?" And they would say, "That way." And one of them was a doctor in Hiroshima who came to his senses, Dr. Haichiya. He was within this group of ant walkers in Hiroshima, and eventually came to kind of being more clear and more conscious, and walked away, and then started walking in the direction of the communications hospital.
The book is The Last Train from Hiroshima, The Survivor's Look Back, also known as To Hell and Back. Charles Pellegrino is the author. When we continue, decades later, what do we remember? What are lessons learned? I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,